Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome, welcome to Verkay Radio, iHeartRadio. This is the Get Your Business Right show with Michael Muse. And you know what Verkay is about? This is all about the power of women coming from New York City. I'm excited. If you don't know who I am, I'm Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach, because you have to share your story. Everyone needs to hear your story because your story can possibly change the world. I'm excited because, as I say every week, I come across the most amazing women, because you already know I'm the one guy, I talk to women. I want to talk to women about how they make power moves, how they make get into the right environment, and how they meet the right people. Well, I'm here to tell you, this young lady right here, I met her. When people say social media is a waste of time, I truly met her on social media as I was interviewing someone else. She knew the other person, and we started a dialogue. So I want to introduce you to some of you may not know, but for us, you will know today. This is the media maven, Ms. Kim Boudreaux. How you doing, Kim?
Michael, you know what, Michael? You're a very special man honoring women like you do. You're amazing. You really, truly are amazing.
Well, Kim, I was blessed enough to have a mother who not only taught me moral values and empathy values and spiritual values, but she also taught me entrepreneur values and customer service and serving people from where they're at. And I was I'm just so grateful to have her. She just passed away this past December. And so when she made her transition, she always wanted me to take over her accounting business. So I did that. And I'm excited because a lot of times when we lose someone, we can get caught up in so many emotions. But what I'm learning is that when we stay focused in on what they wanted to happen after they're gone, and if we're in a position where we could keep those things alive and keep that legacy going, that person is still living in our minds, our heart, and our spirit. So I'm just grateful and blessed. And this is just one of the ways I do to help women get their business right.
Yeah, your mom did, and she had a strong insight, and she did an amazing job, and yes, and she's watching over you, Michael. She's watching over you.
Well, Kim, I'm excited about you because we're going to jump in this, because just reading your bio, hey, Kim, you're real, you're raw, and you're honest about the challenges about people stepping into their bold voice. So let me ask you a question. Let's jump right into it. What did it take for you to step into your bold voice? What was the steps to that point?
Well, there's been many steps. I'm still stepping. My steps will never be done until I leave this physical human body suit that I'm wearing and I face my higher powers. But one of the main step happened about, there was many steps leading up to this, but the major one that happened about 12 years ago. You and I, we live locally here. So, and for the people that aren't listening that aren't local, Michael and I live near a road called Woodward Avenue. It's four lanes south and four lanes north. I fell asleep at an intersection on that road one afternoon. And thank God my head fell forward because it woke me up. But then I did it again. And no one was hurt. I did not hurt anybody. I did not get hurt. My foot stayed on the brake. But it was on a sunny August afternoon. There was no reason for me to be falling asleep. And that was a huge, no pun intended, that was a huge aha wake up moment. And I knew I had to make some real quick changes or I was going down.
Mm. And so in that process, you realize, so what did you learn from that process? Like I say, you fell asleep twice, you caught yourself. What were the events leading up to that you were even tired, like I say, during that time of a day?
Well, I'm a morning person. I love the morning. So I get up really early. And what was happening was I would wake up in the morning and here's the first words before I even got out of bed, I would say, what's my schedule like today so I can come back to bed? I was already making myself go back to sleep before even getting up. I was living without passion. I was lost. I lacked clarity. I was 48 and a half years old, looking forward to turning 50. I wasn't going to make it to 50 at the rate I was going. And I knew I had to make some major changes. And I have enough people in my life that I could start making some phone calls to help guide me to changes. And so one place I first started was the next morning. And this, I was just talking about this earlier, as a matter of fact, this can be very difficult. But the first thing I did the next morning when I woke up, instead of saying, what's my schedule like so I can go back to sleep? I said, wow, I'm thankful for the drywall above my head. That was my first step right there, was just recognizing, as opposed to living in everything that I don't have, and also living in an imposter syndrome and living lies. That was my first step of cleaning things up.
So you got a chance to really get to a deeper level of gratitude.
Deeper level of gratitude. I also got into a deeper level of reuniting and reacquainting with myself. I've had some amazing corporate careers and very successful. They were all built on lies. And a couple of the other lies that I decided to clean up was, again, now I'm 48 and a half. A couple of the other lies was, I was missing something. So I drove to this building in Royal Oak and walked in and looked at this woman and said, I never finished high school, but I told everybody I did because I was so embarrassed. And she said, all right, just let me find out. And I got to run you through and here, take a couple of these tests. And I'm like, take a couple of these tests. Jeez, I'm not even back in school yet. You want me to take a couple of these tests?
Right.
You know, all that afternoon, got a phone call from her. And she said, good news is a lot of your credits from community college, they can pull in. They will, you know, they pull that into a high school diploma. And she said, you only need one credit to graduate. And I said, I don't care how much, I don't care where, I don't care what I got to do, I'm there. And she said, well, it won't cost you anything. You're going to have to take a 2-credit class, history. And I went, Michael, when she said history, I went, oh my God, I hate history.
I'm not going to all classes, history class.
Yeah. Oh my God, those dates. I'm like, I can't remember this. I pulled up my big girl pants and drove, and I went to class twice a week for 15 weeks, graduated with A++++++, put on a cap and gown at the age of 50, walked across the stage and graduated high school. 9 months, 9 months later, I completed a 2-year life coaching certification all within 9 months. And then I went back to OCC and I went, I'm marching in. I'm like, okay, I never finished my degree. He goes, okay, you need one credit. And I'm like, what's with this one credit stuff that I do? So I finished up my associate's degree. I did that all within a year, year and a half time. That's where I began.
And you know what, Kim, that's inspirational, because too often people go through things in their life and they get to a place where they feel like, hey, you know what? It's too late to do this, or it's too embarrassing to do that. But you were bold enough to take that step and say, you know what, let me not live behind the lie. Let me be truthful with myself and be truthful with those who I partner and colleague with. And like you say, that number one. And I see that you have to deal with yourself first, number one. And you have to deal with yourself first, and only one credit hour for each situation there. So that is absolutely powerful. And so, at what point in time did you get into media? Because you are the media maven. So at what point did you get into the media?
Well, shortly after all of that, graduating coaching, my coaching certification, I stepped online because I wanted an online business, because I have a fitness business that I don't really promote. It was huge at one time. I manage it. I keep it very small. And my coaching, my fitness practice, there weren't websites. There wasn't internet at the time when I started that. So that was going door to door, going and privately training people inside their homes.
Okay.
So I wanted to get online and I saw an email come through and a friend of mine, a colleague was announcing, hey, I'm stepping into this anthology, a book, and she's looking for authors. And I'm like, well, I can do that. So I made an investment and submitted a chapter and went from, became one published author and one anthology to the next. We took the anthology, my first anthology that I led, Bold is Beautiful, and I marketed my internet radio station after that. I launched an internet radio station because people like you and I, to manage a radio show or to manage a podcast, it's a lot of work.
Yes, and it is.
We have full plates as entrepreneurs and business owners. So I provided for all my hosts a VIP service. And I had that station for almost 7 years and just sold it about 4.5 years ago.
Okay. And right when podcasts started to take on off, huh?
I know. Boy, did I get out.
And so kind of recap real quick. You, like you say, you start off doing fitness and going from home to home, and you get into the anthology of the book project. Like you say, some people are intimidated when they're asked, hey, do you want to be in the book? Oh, no, I can't write. I can't do this. Matter of fact, I have a prime example. I had a former client last year, and we were working on her book. But, of course, like, you know, with anything, life got in the way, and we had to keep postponing and postponing and postponing. And so the opportunity came, just like you, for her to do a chapter in the book. Mm-hmm. And she asked me, you know, how long it's going to take for her to do the chapter in the book. She said it's going to take her about 2 months. I said, no, it's not gonna, I said, working with me, it's not going to take no 2 months to do one chapter. She said, well, how long is it going to take? About a week. No, it's not going to take no week. So about 3-4 days. I said, no, it's not going to take 3-4 days. It was like, how long are you talking about it's going to take? In my mind, in my brain, the way it functions, she said, it's going to take a lot of time. I said, nope. With me helping you, we'll have it done in less than 3 hours.
Yeah. It's interesting what the song and dance and that we tell ourselves, you know, because again, my anthologies were all women, and it was real interesting to watch these women, what they had to work through and peel back just to submit a 15. And I don't want to minimize by just saying just a 1500 word chapter, because I mean, I led three anthologies. I participated in about 7 or 8 more. And now, quite frankly, I'm gonna say this on air. Oh boy, here we go. I am struggling with my own book right now. Oh gosh, I said it. Darn it. So I will have a solo book done and published by the end of this year. Oh boy, I sweat when I say that.
Hey, you know how, you know the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? Just one bite at a time. So for you, hey, since you're a little more advanced, one sentence at a time for you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, it is. It's right. But it, Michael, it all comes down to the story that we're telling ourselves. You know, yes. I mean, I teach women how to step in through their bold voice. Well, we have to, it's like you and I are going down to the Fisher Theater this evening to see, you know, a production. Well, we see the actors and the actresses, the talented people in front of that curtain, but there's so much that goes behind that mm-hmm. curtain, that production. Yeah. And this is what all humans do, but I pick on women because I work specifically with women. Those are my clients, but they don't want to handle that behind the scenes. That's an inner critic, the hag in the attic, and you know, there's all the self lack of confidence and all that. And you know, the biggest, boldest voice is, you know, boy, what's my schedule like today? I can't wait to go back to bed. I'm not even out of bed. You know, that has such power behind it.
Mm-hmm. And so at this point in time, Kim, we're going to take a quick break. And we're back on Verkay Radio on Get Your Business Right. And we have the media maven of Ms. Kim Boudreaux-Smith. And Kim, it's exciting what you said about just talking about you're working on your book and you've been part of some books. And now you help women with their voice. And did you have any particular person who was your mentor or someone you looked up to and you were able to really draw that strength and inspiration from when you decided, hey, I need to share my voice?
Well, there's been multiple. I was that woman that was in corporate America, had a phenomenal career, but I played it safe. I was quiet. I sat at tables when there was all men, and I knew I did not have the confidence back then to speak up and really lean in, so to speak. But after that, I've had so many mentors. I've had so many women and men mentoring me to really become bolder and stronger to step into that voice. And like, I'm still stepping. My steps are not done. They're not right. Done.
Absolutely. I'm a true proponent that once you stop learning, you start dying.
Yes.
Because you no longer allow new information, you no longer allow the experience that you have to evolve you into your greater self.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I mean, I think that was one of the things I was going through when I was 48 and a half and I fell asleep at that red light. I had stopped learning. The passion was out, gone. I was lacking clarity and I was starting to go down. I wasn't starting. I was downhill and it was getting out of control. And boy, when I got that taste of my coaching certification, I'm like, wow, I'm learning. I'm in school. I'm hungry. Let's more. So I agree with you. I really agree. Once we stop learning, I mean, we need to learn. And it doesn't necessarily mean, Michael, to go learn formally. We need to learn from having conversations with other people. We need to learn.
And guess what? Life is our biggest teacher.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
And the experience that we learn from it and through it that helps us shape who we are and how we interact with this world and how we lead with our lives and ultimately leave a legacy behind.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, life in so many ways teaches us. I mean, it could be just as something as simple as going for a walk in nature. We can learn so much. Or, you know, I don't have children. I have two dogs. I mean, they teach me patience. Oh my gosh, you know, and they also teach me persistence. You know, we learn from so much. We learn from those beautiful connections, like you were saying at the beginning of the show, and social media, whether you never meet a person, there's always room for dialogues. It could be a private message.
Yes,
it could be
a phone
call. That's my most favorite way of learning, is the conversations.
And so what point in time did you see that you wanted to really help other women get their voice heard?
Well, when I launched the radio station, prior to launching the radio station, when I was doing those anthologies, I had launched a radio show on another platform and I lasted for about four shows on that other platform because I'm sitting in my office in my home and I'm thinking, all right, I'm producing this show. I'm the technology person. I got to manage the guests. I got to stay present for the guest. I got to keep the show going. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. So that was the first inkling of realizing how I can serve other women entrepreneurs. Because this, as you know, shows and these radio shows and podcasts, it's a marketing tool. How to market themselves to be out there, more visibility for their business. I, a year ago, Christmas, was in my office cleaning up some shelves and stuff. And I found a book. It was a journal and I opened it up and it was dated 1994. I was going through a closed head injury. And in there, I wrote how much I want to support other women's voices. And I don't remember writing this. I just went, whoa. So I guess I have been in the arena for quite some time.
Isn't it amazing how it took a traumatic situation for it to be put on paper. And like you said, as time went by, of course, you forget. You don't even remember doing it.
Yeah. Yes.
But you got into a position where as you went back to it, you had to get, you understood why you had been going through what you've been through, and you kind of more so understood what your purpose was at that time.
Right. And you know, and this purpose has taken on, has taken on other legs, so to speak, or eyes and visions. It's ebbed and flowed and evolved. I mean, I'm in the midst of leveling up my business right now as you and I are doing this show. I'm taking it to the other next level. It's being open, it's meditating. And for me, it's having the conversations with God, and he just presents.
And I'm glad you mentioned meditation. How has your meditation evolved during this pandemic?
My meditation can sometimes suck during this pandemic. I'm not a proponent of sitting crisscross applesauce with your legs and putting your fingers together and meditating. That is one way of meditating.
Yes.
Meditating can be a walk out in nature. Meditating, sometimes my meditation has been very good. I've been reconnected with my breath. You know, learning the deep breath. So that's something I've been doing before I go to sleep at night. And during this pandemic and quarantine, I have been sleeping really good. And I think it's those three deep breaths that I'm taking. But my meditation has been pretty good. Again, I like to mix it up. I like spice of variety. That's just my personality. So it's either I'm reading scriptures or quotes or journaling, or just sitting there in the morning at 5 a.m. with my cup of coffee and just listening to the birds chirping. It could be a form of meditation.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because sometimes we fail to realize that sometimes it's the very small things that are so subtle of listening and listen to the birds and listen to the wind as it rustle past the leaves and being able to enjoy the moment in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's excellent. And so now you're helping women share their voice and communicate more effectively. And so when did you come up with these speaking classes to help women become phenomenal speakers?
Well, thank you to a very dear friend of mine, Sheila Kennedy, up in upstate New York, Rochester, New York, sent me a link about 3 years ago and said, you need to check this out. It's got your name all over it. And it was a third party. And I stepped into it, and it just wasn't a good fit after a while, and stepped out and said, "I there's something here. I need to create something." So I created a curriculum that I've partnered with at the She Hive in Ferndale, Michigan. And I just, because of the quarantine, I've had to evaluate and redo the whole process of how the class is now. So I just launching in July will be three levels of speaking for women. It's introduction to speaking, and then beyond the basics of speaking, and then keynote prep. So there's that, but I'm going to take that even more to a bigger level. I'm going to really start stepping in and helping women be very courageous to speak up without worrying about what other people are saying or backlash. You know, as long as they're passionate and speaking from their heart, really teaching them to get gain that confidence and that courage to really speak up.
So for that woman who's listening right now, and she is shy, but she knows that in order for her to grow personally, but also grow in business, she needs to be able to become a more effective speaker. What does that look like for her?
Well, she's going to have to seriously really work through, you know, being shy and introverted can be one of the most best speakers. It's a skill. It's something we have to learn. And it's really overcoming the inner critic, getting out of your own way, getting in a supportive and safe environment, so she can realize that she's not the only one that goes through this. And that if she pushes her sleeves up, works at this, we can get her to be a very good, whether it's a presenter for at work, you know, in a corporate environment, or an entrepreneur for more visibility, or she's climbing ladders, you know, or she wants to do a TED Talk, whatever that is. anybody can do that if they're willing to do the work and overcome all the barriers that we set up for ourselves.
Yes. And so so your speaking course, how long is your speaking course?
Well, starting in July, I'm launching those three levels will be a 6-week intensive. So it's 6 weeks in a row.
Okay.
So it's week to week to week. So if we're changing up some habits and patterns, it's got to be consistent to really overcome all that.
So you really structured it and put it together to take someone from the bottom to the top.
Yes. A to Z, soup to nuts. Yep.
That is fantastic. And you know, we're getting close to the end of the show here. And so I would really love for you to get a chance to share maybe two to three things that you know is maybe critical for someone who may be a woman who may be listening right now. And also, how can they get in contact with your fantastic platform?
Okay. Well, first of all, a couple of things I'd like to tell everybody that is listening, especially for women, is we need to be courageous and step up and speak up. We have to tell our stories. This is how we connect. This is how we're going to connect. And, you know, that's that transparency, authenticity, and vulnerability piece. And we need to be able to tell these stories without worrying who will be judging us. There will always be people judging. There will always be people that will love you, and there will be people that may not agree, but to be confident enough to work through that. So anyone can do that, especially when you have a tribe of supportive people around you to go through that. And I always love to say Oscar Wilde, be you, because everyone else is taken. You know, so just be you, everyone else is taken. And you can track me down at kimbeasandboysmith.com is my website. And I'm out there on Kim Boudreaux Smith on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram.
Well, Kim, I know people who are listening will definitely look to you to know that, hey, I'm going to become a better speaker. And they're going to take that time and take that investment, because truly you have made the most best investments in yourself. And like you said, you have to get to that point so you can be you. And once you get to that point, you can be you. You have automatically, like you said, grown leaps and bounds and being able to help women from all around the world. And I'm excited about what you're doing. And I'm definitely looking forward to having you on again so we can talk about just how your program and platform is going and take it from there.
That would be great. Michael, I really appreciate you and thank you for having me.
Well, Kim, I appreciate you. You are truly a shining star for those who are looking to do better, be better, and learning how to conquer themselves so they can learn how to leave a legacy, a lasting legacy, but also live a life that is worth living, that they can be proud of. So I just thank you so much for coming on.
And as
always, you know, this is Michael Muse, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach. There is no me without you. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. This is the Get Your Business Right Show. We'll see you next time. Coming from Verkay City in New York City. Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.